As I'm turning to the book of Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, now read verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks. And my subject tonight is false pastors exposed. False pastors exposed. Before this chapter, the prophet had prophesied against the people of Israel. And at this time, prophet Ezekiel had his ministry when they were in captivity, when they had been there for some time. And then he began his ministry. So his prophecy here was, there were some who were still in Jerusalem, but some had gone to captivity. Some had also gone to other places for refuge. Some people went to Egypt and others. Remember, others, some of them took Jeremiah with them when they were going. And so his prophecy came for the people at first in chapter 33. In 34 here, this prophecy came against the shepherds of Israel. So here he speaks against the shepherds of Israel, who by their neglect and cruelty and unfaithfulness had led the people astray into captivity. And the prophecy came against them. So I repeat again, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock. So here he uses a figurative expression to speak against the rulers who rule the people of Israel for their selfishness. So the shepherds here included those of the religious leaders and civil rulers. You know that the nation of Israel was both their religious life and civil life was all controlled by the word of God. So kings are supposed to be among the religious leaders. Remember, some of them, David, Hezekiah, and others led many. Hezekiah led reformation, and many others, Hezekiah and others. And David himself was a prophet, and many of the kings. So, the shepherds here included the religious leaders and civil rulers, and the religious leaders included priests, Levites, and the scribes. So, the civil rulers consisted of the kings, the princes, and judges of Israel. So, here the Lord is telling them that they have not done their work well. So woe unto them. So as how does shepherds do their work for their flocks? You know, shepherds are supposed to guard and provide for the sheep. So these leaders were supposed to guard the people and also provide for them, guard them against errors, guard them against disobedience, the laws of God, because as the nation of Israel, whenever they sinned, God chastised them because they were his people. So if they have the people whom God has entrusted to their care in mind and they care for them, they ought always to guard against disobedience to the commands of God, so that God's presence will always be with them to prosper them, to protect them, and to keep them for his own namesake. And also, not only to guard them against errors, they were also to provide just governance to them. They should they were in the position to make the laws of God clear. The judges ought to do justice to all cases, and they ought to do right in all times. And also, they should lead the people in reverence worship. That's the worship of God. You know that the whole nation worship of God was central. That is why Jerusalem, until the city, the holy city is taken, the whole nation was still strong. But then, when the city walls were burnt and the temple was destroyed, the whole nation got destroyed. So, despite they being a civil nation, they also had, they were like a people of God, as we know, they represented the people of God at the time. As we know, the people of Israel were ruled by God's law. So the leaders were supposed to guide them to have their lives and everything right according to God's law. But then, despite they having the law and everything, they were corrupt. They were corrupt and false. Most of them corrupted their ways. Most of them were not right. Remember, Jesus' time, such was the character of the Jewish leaders. The priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees were all corrupted. You know how they opposed the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. He was the chief shepherd. If you read the verses, we will not get to that part. But remember that God raised the shepherd, like he raised David, to a reference to Christ coming to be the true shepherd of his church. When Christ came, and yet the leaders never knew him, they rather hated him because they were false and his ways, their ways were different from his. So you see that these people, the warning against them was right, and that God indeed saw how these people had. And indeed, though the whole nation sinned, but it was the leaders. If the leader, God, anytime a leader comes to the people of Israel, who does right, the people are able to also do right. The leaders that will come who do wrong, the people also follow them. So you see that the right of all of the nation depended much on the leaders. So they were the shepherds, they were the guides of these people, but they were blinded themselves. So here to the flocks were the people of Israel whom these rulers were supposed to instruct in godliness, both in civil and religious matters. So here we see that he pronounced woe to the shepherds of Israel. Why is he warning them? Because these under shepherds, those God has entrusted his authority to keep it and govern his people, were careless of their flock. They were not obedient or faithful to their work. So it's a war unto them. So God, who has appointed them, has the right to come and check their work and hold them accountable. And here he held them accountable for what they have done. Because of their sin, the people have gone to captivity. The whole nation has been destroyed. And that they are going to stay there for 70 years. And indeed, it was a great thing that the people have done. So the Lord declared their fault that they, what were they doing? They woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? They fed themselves. They were concerned with their own safety, their own provision, their own the benefit of their work, and even cheated for themselves. Instead of them to offer good governance and lead the people in the things of God, whereby the nation will prosper, no, they cared for themselves. And they cared not for the whole nation as a people of God, God who have instituted them. They cared for themselves alone. And it's a pity to see that. You know, under the New Testament also, the New Testament says, elders or pastors of the church are the under shepherds. The old church, I mean, the people of Israel had the kings and the priests and the princes and the prophets and others being their shepherd, guiding them the things of God. In the New Testament church, the elders and pastors, teachers, and they are there, and some the shepherds of the church. And the members of the church are Christ's flock. You know, the church is for Christ, and he appoints shepherds, he appoints elders, pastors, teachers to lead his church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, we are told, Apostle Paul talking to the elders of the church, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. They were supposed to feed the church of God. So you see, if you check the complaints of God here again, they were supposed to feed his, the last part of the verse, we said that, should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? So you see, in the New Testament, the elders of the church who were supposed to feed the church of God, which he had purchased his own blood. The nation of Israel was redeemed from Egypt by God, and he sent them to the promised land for his own purpose. And it was his own mighty hand that redeemed them. They were his people to worship and serve him. So in the New Testament, the church of Christ is also, he came to die and shed precious blood so that he can buy us from sin and to make us a people for himself. So, and when he has saved us, he brings us to a church where he appoints leaders to feed them with the word of God and to instruct them in the way of righteousness. So That's what I said. In 1 Peter 5:2, chapter 5, verse 2-4, we are again told of what these shepherds have to do in the New Testament. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for guilty lucre, but of a ready mind, that has been lost over God's heritage, but being ensampled to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So you see the same trend of Christ being the chief shepherd, and the elders or the pastors, the teachers, they are supposed to take oversight, not for the sake of beauty, like not for the sake of greed, not for the sake of their own benefit, as you see here that these elders of Israel fed themselves for their own safety. They were, you see the complaints against them, that they were concerned with their own comfort and not for the people. And they abused the power God gave them. So it is that the church of Jesus Christ has shepherds, under shepherds. Christ is the chief shepherd, as we are told here. He is the one that all pastors, teachers work under. And you know, and as sheep encounter many dangers, they are also surrounded by many enemies, liable to many diseases and needs. Sheep are animals that are always need direction. They always need a shepherd to guide them, else they fall into many dangers. So believers also encounter many dangers. Believers have faced temptations from Satan, and the world attracts them. Slander, because they want to live faithful, there sometimes there are slander against them and attacks. Besetting sins, we all have our besetting sins in our heart. Doubt and fear assails us in our walk in this world. So to support the comfort of believers and safety and guidance in their spiritual life, God raises pastors to take the oversight and care for them as shepherds for the flock. All the dangers of a Christian world, God instructs his appointed shepherds through the word so that his children who are facing all manner of evil against them are able to help by the word, so that they are able to have strength and draw comfort and see their spiritual life prosperous as the Lord appoints. So you see, God's purpose to raise pastors to take oversight of the church is to care for the flock, for his people. Spiritual guidance should be given. But you know, false shepherds are ignorance or careless of this. False pastors care not for this spiritual guidance for the sheep. They don't care about that. And that they care for themselves alone. They don't care about the temptations. They don't care that our souls are beset with sins, and that it needs to be cured through the word of God. There are so many, as growing up as Christians, there are so many difficulties, many misunderstandings. We have to grow concerning the will of God. It is through the word, when we learn it and when we are instructed, and it helps us to become more mature in the things concerning our spiritual life. And how can we do this if we are not led and being taught aright by shepherds appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ? If we are saved and we are under false shepherds, how can we grow? The false shepherds who care for themselves alone, how can they grow? So you see that sometimes people can be saved in churches that have false pastors. They have the fundamentals, but then many things they are wrong. And you wonder, how can they grow? Some of them are churches that they have faulty prayers. So how can they really learn how to pray proper? How can they enjoy peace and comfort from the Holy Spirit? How can they have sweet communion with the Lord if they are misled by a false pastor? Despite their knowledge of fundamental some things of Scripture, well, the true shepherd of Christ will not totally be led astray. But if our spiritual guides are not unfaithful, are not those who lead us aright, we have so many errors that we embrace. So in verse 3 it says that ye eat the fat, still complaining and speaking against the false shepherd. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Look at the complaint. So here the prophet tells us the selfish, cruel, and careless conditions. Conduct of the false leaders toward the people. Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Yes, the priests and the Levites were only concerned with the tithes and offerings from the people. That was all that they were concerned. They were concerned for their wages, the tithes and offerings, the fat they draw from the people. And taking these things, they were right to take tithes and offerings from the people, but it was to relieve them for their ministry. But these things, they don't do it, that they do it to pamper themselves and support their greed. They became greedy people. Remember at the time of Lord Jesus Christ, the priesthood was almost like on sale. So the rich and these Sadducees and rich families that are able to have access to the priesthood and other things. And what was it? Because of the gain that comes there. So these priests and Levites were only concerned for the tithes and offerings from the people, so that they can live luxurious, not really to support them, to relieve them for the ministry. So you see that they eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them, that affair, but you feed not the flock. You take away, the support from the people, but yet you don't do what you're supposed to do for them. That's what he's saying. And also the civil rulers who were also concerned with the taxes, and they were only concerned with taxes and levies from the people. They know that apart from the tithes and offerings to the religious leaders, they paid taxes and levies to the people so that the nation also has to continue. And this, the civil rulers were concerned with this, with injustice they would take from the people, and even beyond their own deal. And all that they take from the people, not for the administration of justice and support of good governance, but to enrich themselves and live luxurious life at the expense of the nation. So you see, the two, the both the religious and the civil, were all at fault. The kings will come. If you read the chronicles, the kings of Israel, those bad kings, when they come, some of them will even close the temple. Hezekiah's father closed the temple and threw away the things, and the priests and Levi will stop their work, and then all idolatry and all about pursuing either idolatry, fame, and doing things that they like. So you see, that's what the attitude of the people. They don't care about God and his things. So they care about themselves. And yet, you know, it was God's permission that these kings and leaders come into the nation, were allowed to come into the nation. So they didn't care for the people. They cared for themselves. They cared. I remember there was one king who went to Syria. Was it Amaziah? He went to Syria and he saw a nice altar. When he came to erect. Before he came, he even sent an architecture to come and take the image, and he erected it in the temple of God for himself with gold and decoration. And we are told that he even closed where the proper altar. So you see that this was the picture that was seen in the nation before their fall. All these kings came before the final destruction. So this thing is talking generally about all the leaders that were supposed to help the nation so that they will prosper both spiritually and also physically as a nation. But then they failed, because as the Bible tells us, you eat the fat and you clothe it with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. They were concerned for their own greed and foolish lifestyles. But let's pause a little. If you consider the character of this false shepherds of Israel, are they not similar to our false pastors of today, who have assailed the Church of Jesus Christ for so many years up to now? Remember, in the Apostle Paul's time, he told us in Titus 1:10-11, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers in the church, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, for greedy ends. Even at the time of Apostle Paul, there were false pastors in the church. They were teaching things that they said they were unruly and they were vain talkers, teaching things which they ought not to. They don't care if it profits the church or not. They don't care if it is honor the Lord or not, so long as they think they ought to teach. And I'm sure some of these were the Jewish Christians, those they have converted to Christianity, but they fell to the old. They see that they should combine both the old system and the new. Most of the time, these are the people that they bring, most people, they are the people that bring errors to the church in the Apostle Paul's time, and with others also. But what was their intention? It's for money. It's for greed. It was not for the benefit of the Church of Christ. So you see, false pastors deceive people with lies so that they can benefit from their money. Is that not what we see today? church, many, many people who call themselves the men of God, what do they do today? Telling lies to deceive people for their money. And they can even tell people, if you don't pay your tithes, and this God is a curse on you and all that, which the Bible doesn't teach anyway. For the Church of Jesus Christ. They will go and quote some of the Old Testament passages specifically for the people of Israel, and then apply it to the Christians and try to put fear in people and be called on the name that the people will bring the money and they will enjoy. So it's a false pastor to see people with lies for the sake and the benefits of their money. And by doing that, they lead people astray from Christ and with false hopes of salvation. What do? They want to get people's money, they take away Christ at all, and then they focus in the ways that they can direct the people, that the people's hopes of salvation will rather be in paying of tithes, being church, attending church, and being trying to do something for the church, not resting their hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people in some of these churches think that's the way of salvation. Even when the head of Christ, yes, Christ is there, but then what they have to do is that making sure that God take record of their tithes, so that if they don't pay their tithes, they are lost, maybe they will go to hell or something like that. So you see, they lead people away from Christ, which is false hope of salvation. And then they will try to tell people many things that do not encourage the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the attitude is the same with false pastors today. False pastors today lead people astray from the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 4, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. So here the imposter shepherd, the false shepherds, as a false shepherd not familiar with the illnesses and problems of that affect the sheep. So the Jewish rulers were blind to the various afflictions of the people. As you are, if a shepherd is not the one leading the sheep, is not the right shepherd, he doesn't care what affects them. He doesn't care if the sheep are not feeling well or not. So the same way with these Jewish rulers, they knew at all the afflictions of the people. The people were getting into captivity, and instead of them to do the right thing so that the Lord would be merciful to them, they didn't care about that. They rather thought and to live on their own way. So under these leaders, under their watch, there were enslavement. Many people in many countries came to enslave the people of Israel. There were oppression. Even judges were oppressing if you read the prophet, always the prophet was calling them to do things right, to do righteousness. They were dispersed. People were thrown away out of their own dominions, the places they lived, and they were cheating and everywhere. And while the needy, the Bible called that they should do justice to the needy. The needy, instead of the judges in this in Israel to do justice to the needy, they don't care. Whatever affected them, they don't care. They abandoned these people to their room, and they didn't care that these people were supposed to get support or a blessing, a help from them. So you see that they were careless for the people. So when you think of the pastoral ministry of the New Testament church also, it is only the chief aim of the ministry is to tend for the souls of men, not the physical. We are not like this civil and the physical kingdom of Christ, where it was about physical things and spiritual things were there. But in the New Testament church, the shepherd, the pastoral ministry is for the tending of souls of men. The souls of men are the chief purpose of the ministry. You know that every person has the disease of sin in his or her soul. And the pastoral ministry is to treat souls beset with sin with the word. The pastor or the teacher of the word, the pastor or the teacher of the word duty is to apply the truth of God's word concerning the various conditions of the people that hears him or hears him. Our souls are always beset with sins, and we always need the word to clean us. We always need the right word to help us so that we will not be afflicted with sins. Indeed, a pastor's duty is to apply the word to the various cases. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we are told all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the preacher or the pastor, his duty is to take the word of God and apply them for the various cases. Whether it's about doctrine, he has to teach it according to the word of God. If it's about reproofs, he has to do it according to the word of God, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that people, believers, can walk to please the Lord in righteousness. But these false pastors are ignorant of this. Rather, they misapply the word. That's not what we hear every day. The false pastors misapply the word. Instead of using the word to direct, correct, and instruct in righteousness, they misapply the word. And if they misapply the word, what happens? They misapply the word. You hear some of these false pastors quoting scripture, and sometimes they quote it wrongly to teach things which are not ought to teach. Sometimes also they just quote a word and just out of the word of God. God, people take the word of God as true. So whatever people speak out of it, they take it. So when they don't speak as they ought to and they teach lies, people take it as if that is true. If people take the wrong teaching, what will it end them? They will not be able to live a life that pleases the Lord. So you see that the first part is ignorant, and they misapply the word. Instead of using the word as a way to help the people, they rather misapply it, and then people are not able to really walk right with the Lord. For instance, if you consider how churches these days care not about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people don't, pastors don't preach it, and you ask yourself, how can people be saved in their churches? How can people know the way of salvation? And yet there are many, many people coming in, and yet they have something to tell them, to see them, to make them happy, and the way the gospel is left. How can a preacher continue to preach for so many years without preaching the gospel? And yet that is all that we have. And yet they are the so-called pastors we have today. They cannot tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ as they ought to do according to his word. So these people are ignorant to apply the word as they ought to do. Again, we are told that the disease have been not strengthened, and they have been healed that which was sick. You know that there are so many sinful sinfulness that we have. We have so many sinful characters, attitudes. We have lust, pride, anger, selfishness, unkindness, irreverence, unbelief in every person. We come from our sinful natures. But all these things are left undisturbed by false pastors. But the word of God touches, gives us so much to, so that each of these things, if it's a certain problem, we'll be able to have the word to guide us. But this false pastor leaves this sinfulness in us undisturbed. They don't touch them. They don't cause us to feel our sinfulness. That's what they do. They make people feel at home with sin. And yet, you know that the whole ministry of the church is to lead people from darkness into light through the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and believers also to walk right. So if our sins and things that is pleasing the Lord are not touched, then what do people do? The diseased have been not straightened. Those who have been diseased, those who are sick, we as our souls are beset with sin. And yet, if these false pastors do not guide people so that they will get out of it, neither have you healed that which was sick. Sick with all manner of sins that have affected the soul. Sinners are not led to the Savior in repentance and faith. Sinners are not told how to repentance and how faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is. And people have a shallow view of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because they are not really taught as the Bible teaches it. Instead of leading people to the Savior, they wish salvation for people. And they call salvation on people. You are saved. You are this. Instead of making people to really seek the Lord for themselves, they call salvation on people. That's what some of these false pastors do. So people are not really led to know how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the advice we have this sinner's prayer, which is very common. Advice when they are finished preaching, then they will tell people, "You say this and this after me." And then after they said, they tell them, "You are now a child of God. Find a good church to attend, or whatever, and that baptism, whatever they do for the people." But that's not how your people are led to the Savior. So you see, what has been the effect of this wrong teaching concerning salvation? Many people claim to be Christian, but you don't really know what it takes to be a Christian. Many people have a shallow view of repentance because they just said a sinner's prayer and they are told that they are saved. They just said something the pastor told them, so they said they are saved. It's because these pastors who are championing this don't care about the soul. They don't know what it is for a soul to be saved and how important it is that people have to truly repent to really know the forgiveness of the Lord. And it is the duty of the pastor, the preacher, to bring these things up. But they people don't care about it. So the rest of the disease have been not treated. Neither have we healed that which was sick. Our souls are beset with sins. How can we have forgiveness? How can we know the forgiveness of the Lord if we are not led aright to the Lord? So you see, and also, continue to verse 4, neither have we bound up that which was broken. Some who have been distressed by doubts and certain things are not comforted or corrected. So, the whole ministry of these false pastors mostly have not, barely have anything to do with sin. But the greatest sin of us, even believers, the greatest problem we have is our certain things. Our discomfort in life, our miseries, and our chastisement are from sin. And it is the duty of the shepherd, the pastors, to help us so that as we strive in our spiritual walk, the word they teach us, the preaching that comes, should help us so that in our own reflections, we're able to stand and be fair concerning our discernment. But then people are left. Neither have we bound up that which was broken. Those who have been troubled of life, the real comfort from the Holy Spirit, they cannot know. Because those people don't know anything about conversion. How can they have a blessing from the Holy Spirit when they themselves don't know what it is to draw from the Holy Spirit? How can they pray? How can they pray so that they will be heard with this kind of prayer that we hear about nowadays? You see? So those with distress and doubt, and certain things are not comforted or corrected. They are left to suffer. They are left to themselves and to their own disturbances. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. False persons have no remedy. They do not apply the remedy of Scripture. The Bible always has remedy for every sort of sin that we have. Every sort of problem we have. The Bible has a remedy. But it is the preacher, the pastor, to bring these things out to show so that others who are ignorant of will be helped. So for those who have left their souls affected by wrong doctrines and left in churches where these false pastors are there, anything goes. Whether they believe that somebody has his right or wrong. And nowadays, very common even in the former sound churches. You go to some of these churches who are once sound orthodox. Many people have many views, and it's not corrected. And then some of these groups, grow up and they take a position in the church and they begin to bring these views out, and the church is infested with errors. They don't care that the church is having a standing on the truth. Many people in this church don't know even the doctrines that this church is once held. There were churches, some of these churches, who were once sound, and they don't care. People. They just embrace anything in the church. So you see, they have then they have been brought again that which was driven away. Those who have been perverted with wrong doctrines are left to themselves, except the Lord Himself help, and they somehow go to hear the truth somewhere. They are not left to the Lord. They are not left to the truth. Then they have been sought that which was lost. False pastors are unable to apply the gospels I've said before. The various cases of man's problem of sin and spiritual blindness. The lost people who are sin, who are in sin, who have not a taste of spiritual life, they have left them to their ruin, and they cannot know the Savior. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. The counsels of false pastors depress the soul. With force and cruelty,
So this shepherds of Israel have ruled these people with force and cruelty. It's the same with false pastors. They count the evil counsel they give. Depresses the soul. It makes the soul not to prosper. It rather makes the soul to go far away from spiritual life. Sometimes when I think about the vain all-night prayers and prayer camps of the charismatics and these Pentecostal churches, sometimes I pity their members who have sought them to do these things, to practice, to have all night. The purpose of all night is what? Praying for material good, praying that some demon is after them, praying for some success. These are cruel, I mean, counsel. The Bible, as a pastor or a teacher of the word, the Bible doesn't teach us this. But it is a popular thing for people. And the churches now, it's usually that they're praising and others choose not to do. And now, all of them, they are praising Methodists and those authorities are now into this. All night, and, I mean, as if, and you ask them, what's the purpose? These are cruel counsels, and they have pastors who are also leading them. They are cruel counsels, and at least, what does this thing do to the soul? Nothing. It rather causes people to have false spiritual experience. People will just spend the whole night for nothing. These are vain and what? Unnecessary. Look at the prayer accounts that this church is set up. For what purpose? It's for money. That also. It's for money. We hear what goes on. And I don't know that the leaders become rich and then become a popular place and people go there and pay money and all that. So what are all these practices for? They are cruel. But with force and with cruelty, have you ruled them? With force and cruelty. This is cruel. And beyond this, even some of these meetings, some people hear some of the accounts they give to people. It's about demons and somebody doing somebody. And, I mean, so many unnecessary things. Just recently, I have a neighbor in my house, and she had an issue with another neighbor. And the whole thing was impatience. You know, impatience among them. And one of them brought the police to warn the other and all that. And the other one, he claimed to be a charismatic pastor. And since that incident happened, from morning to evening, the woman that he's living with, praying fire and the fire of the Holy Ghost on all her enemies, from morning to evening, making noise and all that. I mean, he's been disturbed. And if you consider the whole issue, they themselves are impatient. They are not right. The other woman also, to have precise patience. Both are wrong, but as if they have been attacked. And from morning, even today, from morning to evening, praying fire on her enemies, shouting here and opening the radio and all that. And how, where did they learn this? These are taught them by their pastors, their teachers or whatever, and they follow. I mean, she was even watching, I think I heard that, like on the television, there's a program there, so she also following and calling fire on her enemies. These are led by your pastors. And so we see that the shepherds of these churches are false shepherds. They are leading these people into wrong things. It's cruelty. By which force and cruelty have you ruled them? Shepherds, the elders, the pastor of the church, are to rule these people to sound doctrine, to sound practices, to a way that spiritual life will be maintained. But what are these things? Praying from morning to evening wrongly. And she thought she's the most spiritual person, you see? And then gentlemen, you see, the issue of sin is no problem with them at all. Just to say, the woman I'm talking about, the man is living is not her husband. You see? The one wife has left, and this woman has come to live with the one. And yet, she doesn't even care. She's not even ashamed of living such a life, and she's claiming all that spirituality. You see how they blind them so that they don't even consider their own character. All that they think of is others doing them evil. These are wrong directions. They don't rule them well. They don't direct them to right things. And there are many things. You know, that is why generally the Christianity, so-called the Christian picture we see in town, in public places, is nothing to write home about, because all the counsels given and the directions that so-called Christians are using are not from Scripture. Are not, I mean, things that will lead people to live any life that pleases the Lord. So I move to verse 6, 5 and 6. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. You know, sheep led by a false shepherd are bound to stray, just as there was none. If the shepherd is false, it is better as there was none, no shepherd, because he himself will lead them astray. He doesn't care for them. So if there was none, the same way the sheep will definitely go astray. So because of this false leaders, it was as if there was no leaders in Israel. That's what the Bible, God is telling them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They were shepherds, but they were false. So they were scattered, there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. And when they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Here my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. Here, in the case of the nation of Israel, because of their godless kings and princes, Israel became easy prey for Assyria. The northern kingdom became easy prey for Assyria. And the southern one, Judah and Benjamin, became a prey to the Chaldean, Nebuchadnezzar. And so they destroyed and enslaved them. That's what he meant here. In Jeremiah 15:17, we are told of this. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lion have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria had devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had broken his bones. So here, that's the reference that they became meat. Or the beasts here were these kings, these empires. That were grabbing land after land. And because these leaders did not maintain the rights of God before the people, so that the people will be kept and protected by God, they were open to this invasion of this kingdom. And they were overwhelmed and they were taken. So you see that they were scattered. And when they were taken, the people of Israel were spread all over many nations. And you know, the northern kingdom were taken to captivity. They were never returned. Though only few came back when Judah returned. But then, as a nation, they couldn't return again. So you see that it was a very sad thing to see how these people who were supposed to be the kings and the princes who were supposed to stand in have led the people to be destroyed, have led them astray. And none did seek, search or seek after them, meaning the leaders are not too concerned for the people. They don't care. Remember there was one king, Zedekiah. Jeremiah advised him that you should just, since they have sinned and God is going to find them 70 years, you should just own up so that the king of Babylon will not even destroy Jerusalem, and that though they will be saved, yet they will be under him. They said no. They stood their grounds, disobeyed, they didn't give up, and then the city was destroyed. You see, they didn't care about him. They cared for their own honor. And you know, when he was caught, his eyes were taken, and he was dragged to Babylon. So that's what some of the things that fell them. Okay, so to come to conclusion of what we have been discussing, let's look at some lessons. As I've said before, the first pastors of our time have the same character traits, the same traits of behavior towards the church, towards those who are seeking religion, and even the churches they have set up. If you look at the attitudes of churches and how things are run, it's as if there's no pastors in many churches. In the same way that these shepherds were there, but because they were false, there was no shepherd. Many, if you consider the current state of churches, it is as if there are no pastors in churches. Well, many pastors are ignorant themselves of Scripture. If you meet some of these so-called pastors, you see they are even ignorant of Scripture. And you wonder how Christ will not appoint such a person to be. So you see that his force and his church, where would they lead? The people that are under his care, where would they lead them? You see, they are ignorant. Many pastors are ignorant of Scripture. Not that they cannot read the Bible, but how the Bible has to be learned and taught, they don't know. Even great, so-called men of God, so-called, in our land and beyond, are ignorant of Scripture. They can quote the Bible and explain here and there, but they don't teach us the Bible it should be taught. So instead of some of this teaching God's truth, they rather teach vain human ideas. which promote pride and selfishness, which glorify human beings, which glorify man, and make God as if God is a servant. These are the creatures of these so-called creatures in our land. This is what they do, as if man is God and God is man. And that is this attitude are from false preachers. Any pastor or preacher who does not make God stand as he is, and men stand as we are before God as dust and ashes, is a false pastor. And this is what they do. They promote pride and selfishness in people. And some of these pastors, instead of being spiritual guides, rather they have become financial and business coaches. If you listen to some of them, their guidance is for business and how to prosper. Financial business coaches. Things that are learned in the schools. Now the pastors, as if they have visions, and then people listen to them. So when people want counsel, they go to them and they learn about business. It's foolishness. The Bible does not, that's not the work of a pastor. That's not the work of a good pastor. The pastor has nothing to do with it. Yes, he might have his personal experience, he may say, but that is not his purpose to preach about financial and business things for the church member. His is to spread the word, and it's for the souls of men. The message is for the souls of men, the well-being, so that we're able to live our life in this world to please God and for heaven. What has financial business things got to do with our walk to heaven? It has nothing to do. All our health and whatever has gone. Yes, it's good to that. It's not simple to learn about it, but not on the pulpit, not where the word of God has to be taught. Remember, when Christ came in the temple, who was selling? They were making market in the church, in the temple then, because people will buy them, sacrifice and other things. It's ought to be done somewhere, not in the where God. He said that my father's house shall be called house of prayer. You have made my father's house a place of merchandise. And if you consider some of these churches that do the harvest in churches, it's the same thing. They sell in the house of God even more in exorbitant prices than those in the market. And yet they think they sell in the house of God. And the pastors are sitting there watching. It's abuse of the church of Jesus Christ. And yet, this is what we see. So you see, false pastors always have material things in view. Some also, instead of warning against sin and danger to the soul, rather, they teach sinners to be anxious about their bodies. You see, the teaching of the word is to make us anxious about us, so where we are going, to spend eternity. But these false teachers and pastors teach people rather to be anxious for this life. What I'll eat, what I'll wear, what my business is, what my family will be. Yes, God, as Christians, we have all this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are told not to be worried. Also, we are told that we should fear him who both killed the body and the soul, not those who kill the body. And yet, these pastors are telling people, demons are affecting you, so your body, your progress in this life. That's what they are telling people. So you see, instead of them leading sinners to be anxious about their soul, to seek salvation, people are sowing seeds so that they will prosper. One time I had an argument with a friend. I said, have you ever seen anybody sowing seeds so that he will have his sin, have so much power by his sin? He said, no. I said, okay. Have you seen anybody sowing seeds so that God will bless him in his spiritual way? He said, no. I said, yes. Then you see that whatever it has got to do with sowing seeds, whatever reason they give, no, the whole thing is true, but this, so long as nobody can do that for you, so it tells you that the whole thing is false. Because what blessing do we see from God? The greater blessing we can see is for our souls. But what about this? My travel, my business, my family, I shall see. I'm looking for more money, I shall see. So you see, these are directions they give you. So people are anxious about this life. So that even if people are believers, they don't commit themselves to the service of Christ, because the service of Christ needs much of self-denial, commitment. But I want my ease, and I have to prosper, I have to enjoy life in this world. So you see, it's their teachings, all this part of these people to be concerned about their bodies. Christ said we shouldn't concern about our bodies, we should concern about our soul. But rather, these teachings, look at people's, somebody, my demons, maybe some people have bewitched me, or maybe my enemies are all about his physical well-being, not the soul. foul, Satan, and dragon their soul to hell. They are thinking of their bodies, which took their quote unquote enemies are attacking. This is sad. They take away people's mind from their body, their soul, which Satan is dragging to hell. Because it's the work of Satan, though. Because he raises these false pastors to champion this idea about the body, so that people will not think about their soul, and they will die and go to hell. So it's a sad state, you know. When we consider these false pastors in time of Israel, we compare them to our time. It's the same thing that is happening. These leaders sat down to the nation was captivated. These false pastors are also leading people to eternal damnation, to hell. But then let's see. If pastors are truly appointed by Christ, they will serve his interest. They will serve his interest. So the first thing is, if pastors are not concerned about the souls of men, it tells you they were not appointed by Christ. In Galatians 1:4, we are told that our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. He died to save us from this evil world. And by this false pastors, hell telling us, let us enjoy and feel at home this evil world. God, most of the time we say that, most of the time God gives, not all, but most of the time, he gives less of the world comfort to his children than the world living with, because he wants us to hate what he hates. The world at large is controlled by a sinful culture. And many things that are not sinful are how the people are using it for sin. So the Lord doesn't want us to feel at home here. So even if we have the worldly goods, he'll bring affliction so that we'll never feel happy with them. The worldly will have it and enjoy it without any care. Even the care doesn't care, but the believer will have it. Remember how Christ told his disciples, if you follow me, you have houses, this family, in abundance. But with what? With afflictions. With cares. That's for the believer. So that, I'm not sure any true believer will pray that I should be rich, because if you pray to be rich in Israel, then afflictions you can bear. So that we rather pray that God should give us enough to keep us, so that we'll be able to serve him. But what does this false pastor do? So my time is right, let me quickly get on and finish. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ does not appoint pastors that are false. So if pastors are false, they are not disappointed. They have what? Imposed themselves on churches. They have set up churches for themselves to do what they please. And all the Lord Jesus Christ does not appoint false pastors, because we know the qualifications and duties of pastors are clear in the Bible. And he will never appoint pastor who will not do whatever he has said in the Bible. As we have 1 Timothy 3:1, Titus 1:7 to 9, 1 Peter 5:1-4, Acts 20:17 and 8:28, which gives the qualification of pastors and their work to be done. You know, these days there are women, gay, lesbian pastors whose ministries are thriving with numbers. Sometimes people will tell you, oh, why people are forced? Why is their churches thriving? Why is their ministry so large and all that? Now there are popular women preachers in the U.S. and other things, and it seems they are thriving. But remember that God has not blessed disobedience. Yes, we see physical numbers and followers, but are they spiritual followers? That's the question after that. God will never bless disobedience. If God has not appointed them pastor, God will never bless that ministry. Yes, people can be saved through, but they are preaching the word, you know. But then, to make it so that they themselves will lead people spiritually, it will not be there, because they are false. They are false. Because if somebody just read the Bible, somebody can hear it and you see it and be convicted with that. It's the word of God. God can say to people anyway. But then God will never bless disobedience. He has given requirements and the qualifications and how they have to be, it has to be done. So, and as I said, there are even gay and lesbian pastors nowadays. I mean, they have online sites, they are teaching the book from scripture. So also in worship, false pastors seek to please people's taste against God's order. That's another thing. When pastors are false, they don't care what order God has given for worship. They would rather love to please taste of men than that of God. So dancing and play jokes that pleases the flesh are allowed. They don't care that if those things displeases the Lord. So they will dance and fool in churches all in the name of happiness or praising God. And if you look at, sometimes you start to watch some of these things, and you see the pastors sit down looking on, and yet they have to direct the people. The church, you are the leader of the church, and then you sit down, and certain things are going on. So we see that these false pastors are not appointed by Christ; they have imposed themselves. So false pastors are ignorant of true spiritual fellowship also. And if you look at these churches that are led by false pastors, they don't have true spiritual fellowship even among the believers. Christian fellowship is turned into social clubs. Not real the greatest of all the Christian fellowship is Christian service. When Christians serve the Lord together in spiritual matters, it was so Sunday school, visitation work and other, they pray together, they have that spiritual concern for the work. That's how we are bonded. Than any other thing, a social thing. Yeah, the church might have a social gathering, but the real fellowship comes when we are all involved in Christian service. When we all share the difficulties and the joys. We pray together, our hearts are moved together. But that's the work, the commission for the church. That's what Christ has left us. So if we should have Christian fellowship, our spiritual fellowship is bonded when we commit ourselves to duty. They may have maybe women fellowship, men fellowship, whatever. Yes, they teach another, but then the main thing is what? Christian service. Where we ourselves give ourselves to the Lord in that service. Where we are bonded together, we pray together, we share the joys and pains together. So also let's remember that the ones some Bible believing churches are now overtaken by charismatic errors, because the leadership of such churches is now in the hands of false pastors. Most of these pastors are false, so they have allowed the charismatic, because the pastor is there, is the shepherd. He is there to guard against intruders and false doctrines that are intrusion to churches. And if elders, pastors sat down and this thing comes in and settles, then it's their fault. That is it. But they are supposed to guard. They are the shepherds of the church. They are the guards of the church. And though it is done with the help of all the members, we call them the watchers. They are on the top watching for something. So this charismatic influence have taken over many, many churches. And it is running all over because pastors who start churches have no grounds. They don't know what even the church stands for. They don't know the doctrines of a church or the practice of a church. All that is popular, they embrace. So that's the mark of false pastors. So, brethren, let us pray that the Lord will raise many true and faithful pastors for our generation, because what happened to the nation of Israel is what we are facing today. I'm sure in church history, there has never been false pastors than our time. Like this charismatic movement, where people are so, in church history, those times, churches will have some error, but to have that outright deviation from the Bible is something that is so strange. And that is all that we have in our time. So let's pray that the Lord will raise faithful pastors and appoint them to so that those who have been overrun with this false pastor may find true churches so that their souls will be fed, so that souls may be catered for, and not just gathering people and directing them according to men's opinions and principles. May the Lord help us as we think about these things. In closing,